How do you do? Few of us prostrate ourselves in worship before idols these days, but we all worship something. The man in this story secretly worshipped pleasure. That all changed when his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
What do you mean by an open engagement?
All I'm saying, Elise, is that we should be open to other experiences before we commit to each other exclusively.
I don't want anyone else.
I don't either, but what if we have regrets later? Someday we might wish we had experienced relationships with others.
Why are you suggesting this to me now?
Because we'll be separated for months, and I want you to feel free to date someone else if you want.
Even though we're getting married?
Yes, just casual dating, nothing serious.
All right. I don't like it, but I'll agree.
Bringing light to a darkening world, this is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. It's not surprising that homeless people feel scared and helpless in this troubled world, but Pacific Garden Mission is a place where they look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, beginning with friends who send financial gifts to keep the doors open day and night. The old lighthouse provides nourishing meals, fresh clothing, and a safe place to sleep to hundreds of homeless men, women, and children. Even medical and dental treatment are given free in the mission clinic. Pastors and counselors tell them about the person who set the perfect example of giving many years ago so that others could receive eternal hope. Who made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant? And that's what this program celebrates. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3135 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Tomorrow is the big day, Levi.
At last, you'll be my wife.
I want to ask you something very important. Please be honest with me.
Elise, I'm always honest with you.
Do you truly believe you can be faithful to me throughout our whole marriage?
Yes, of course.
If you violate our wedding vows and have an affair, I will leave you.
Don't worry, I'll always love you. I'll be faithful to you.
Vows are easy to make, hard to keep, as the man in our story learned, but violating trust has consequences. Due to the sensitive issues contained in this story, parental guidance is suggested. This is the true testimony of a man we're calling Levi and how he was unshackled.
As the youngest of three, I grew up with stability and love. Dad was 51 when I was born and Mom was 35. My maternal grandparents were devout Christians, and the rich heritage of family and neighborhood friends was wonderful. We attended church each week where I learned all of the fundamentals of biblical faith in Jesus Christ. But they would be diluted by life circumstances as I grew older. Dad spent his spare time tinkering with new inventions in the basement, garage, or in the backyard. He was a proficient engineer, but when the Vietnam War ended, Dad lost his job as a test engineer on the Chinook helicopter. Many things changed for the entire family.
Is dinner about ready, Anna? The traffic was so congested on my drive home, I'm starved.
Well, I never know what time you'll get here. Just having you home on the weekend has changed everything. Why couldn't you get a job closer to home?
You know that I tried. It's my age. At 61, the industry thinks twice about hiring someone my age.
Well, the children need both of us to raise them, Alan. My dad was always home with the family.
Well, my dad wasn't. He had to be both mother and father after Mama died. Even when he remarried, it wasn't easy. Life has always been somewhat difficult for me.
Well, it's those pipe dreams of yours. You spend too much time trying to become a great inventor.
Friction escalated between my parents, and almost a year later, we moved from our home near Philadelphia to one in Connecticut where Dad worked for an aircraft company. Soon, church attendance ceased, and my brother began to smoke and drink. Tensions increased in our home, and a year later, Dad lost that job, and our security was lost with it.
I can't believe it. How are we supposed to pay the bills?
It's not my fault, Anna. The job was eliminated.
After we moved here? Oh, that's unbelievable and wrong.
That's life.
I repeat, what are we supposed to do?
I'll start my own company.
Pipe dreams, Alan. Pipe dreams. You're 63 years old. We don't have the means for you to start a company.
I have good ideas.
Oh, you tinker in the basement and think you're Thomas Edison.
You'll see.
Meanwhile, I guess I'll have to get a job.
Mom got a job with an insurance company, and Dad was a house husband. Seeing him wear an apron and hang clothes on the line for 18 months, I lost respect for him. Finally, Dad got a job as an electrician in the civil service in Los Angeles. He came home on the weekends, but finally he moved there. We didn't go. My siblings were adults and on their own. Mom worked, and I was left at 15 without supervision. Beer, marijuana, rock music, and the introduction of pornography filled my leisure hours. At 16, I got my first real job, setting up banquets at a local hotel.
Hey, Levi, you coming to the party tonight?
You bet. Hey, first we raid the beer kegs here. Take plenty.
Remember when the police caught us walking home with alcohol?
Yeah, and our parents had to come get us at the station? Won't do that again.
Bring your Beatles collection.
While I kept up appearances, getting good grades at school, my addiction to rock music and porn increased. Mom began attending church sometimes, but I didn't. I was 17 when Elise came to our school as an exchange student from Scandinavia. One night, mesmerized by her beauty, I boldly called her outside at the home where she was living, and we talked for hours.
My parents split up when I was only 4 years old.
And they never got back together?
No. Papa married a woman he got pregnant while Mama was carrying my baby brother.
That's scandalous.
Then he started drinking. I think because he was ashamed.
Did he support your mother?
Support?
Yeah, give her money.
No, she had to work, and I had to take care of my baby brother.
And you never see your father?
Not much. When I do, he's drunk.
Yeah, I don't see my father much either. He works in California now.
I always prayed for God to help mine stop drinking. But he didn't.
Are you a Christian, Elise?
Not exactly, but I know about Jesus. My aunt told me about him, but my mother never took us to church.
I grew up going to church, but work and school keeps me too busy now. Since my siblings were gone and my family life had been shattered, Elise filled a special need in my life. When I was with her, the desire for drugs and alcohol left. She was dating a football player as our friendship blossomed. I didn't know she was romantically attracted to me until one night she'd been drinking and started kissing me. I felt confused, but our friendship continued.
I was just getting ready for bed, Levi. I was worried about you. There was a bad crash with some teens tonight.
I know. I had to wait until they moved the bodies and the cars off the road.
Oh, do you know who it was?
It was my friend Judy. The driver was drunk.
Well, how are the others?
I heard on the news that they died.
Oh, that's terrible. You be careful, Levi. I don't want something to happen to you.
I was devastated by the death of my friend Judy. A few months later, two rock stars who were my idols died also. One was murdered. My dad came back home and we started to talk for a short while. Then I realized that he thought I was my brother. Dad didn't even know me. As my relationship with Elise grew, she wanted to spend more time with me, so I talked with my mom. Mom, you've met Elise, the exchange student.
Yeah, she seems nice.
Well, she's having problems with her host family.
What kind of problems?
They're terrible housekeepers, and their teenage daughter is very rebellious and making problems for Elise.
Oh, poor girl, coming to this country and then facing that.
I was wondering if she could live here with us.
Well, I guess we can try it.
Suddenly, I had a beautiful, blonde, Scandinavian girl living in my home. Soon, we became intimate, both trying to fill the emptiness of our shattered home lives. One day, Mom discovered us.
I raised you better than that, Levi.
I'm sorry, Mom.
The Bible calls this fornication. Now, you both know it's wrong. Besides, Elise, I thought you were dating that football player that comes by here.
I am dating him.
I'm afraid I'll have to ask you to find some other place to live. You cannot live here anymore.
Elise moved to a home nearby, broke up with her boyfriend, and we continued to date. That spring, I finished high school early and worked full-time, saving my money so I could go to Scandinavia with her, where I spent the summer.
I wish this time with you would never end.
Me too, but I have to get back to the U.S. and start college.
In Connecticut?
No, my dad has been transferred to Wyoming, so my parents are moving.
So far away. What will I do without you?
Let's get engaged before I go.
You mean it?
Yes, I want to marry you, Elise, and spend the rest of my life with you. We were engaged at summer's end 1981, and I flew home to start college in Laramie, Wyoming. Since that was before email and cell phones, Elise and I wrote letters almost daily. I called her at Christmas, though.
I can hardly wait for summer when we are together again.
Oh, same here, Elise.
I miss you terribly.
I miss you too.
Sometimes even the moon makes me sad because I should be with you.
Let's make a date to look at the moon at the same time. Then it'll almost be like we're together.
Wonderful. Don't forget the time difference.
I won't.
You're so romantic, Levi. No wonder I love you.
What a long 9 months that was until summer, when Elise flew to Seattle and we spent 3 months living together. When my mother found out, she disapproved, but we dismissed her as old-fashioned. At the end of summer, Elise returned to her own country while I finished my second year of college. The next summer, she again came to live with me, and a couple of times, we went to church with my parents.
God wants a personal relationship with us, and he has demonstrated this principle throughout the history of mankind.
That's true.
When the thoughts and the imagination of man became evil continually, God chose Noah to build an ark. He chose Abraham to raise up a seed in which all nations of the world would be blessed. God chose Joseph to provide a place of safety and survival for Israel. And then he chose Moses to deliver the nation of Israel from the bondage of Pharaoh. In every case, the people sinned against God's commandments, and his righteous judgments demanded punishment.
That's true.
Paul says in Romans chapter 5, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The sin of Adam became the DNA in all of us. But God is merciful. He's not willing that any should perish. In John chapter 3, Jesus says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Are you asking yourself, how can I be free from the DNA of Adam's sin?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus says again in John 3, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Come to God in repentance of your sins and ask him to give you new life in Christ. You can be born again today.
Hallelujah.
My sins had hardened my heart to the familiar gospel message. As fall drew near, Elise drove with me to Connecticut, where I would finish college. That's when I began suggesting an open relationship. During our separation, we both experimented and were both equally hurt at the other's revelation of being with someone else. When she graduated, she came to live with me in a tiny apartment, but increasingly, we fought.
Why are you so upset, Elise?
You'd be upset too if you had to scrub floors for a job. You have a great job, not like me, under the table cleaning lady.
It's only till you get a green card.
Only?
Yeah.
Every day seems like forever.
You're an adult now, Elise. You have to accept disappointment patiently.
Don't talk like that to me, Levi. I hate you for doing this to me. Hate you, hate you, hate you!
Ow! Oh!
She dug her nails into my arms, leaving bad scratches. Each time we argued, her anger raged against my torso, my arms, my face. I grew ashamed of going to work and to class, bearing long, scabby marks. Sometimes I slept in the basement. Sometimes I slept in the car. I had no idea that my addiction to pornography would take me to an abyss that would almost destroy me.
In a moment, we'll hear more about Levi's turmoil. Do you want to deepen your relationship with the Lord? We have a Gospel of John Bible study that is completely free. The course consists of 6 lessons, each with a theme like salvation or the abundant life. Each lesson is a page of questions with references to read and answer. There's nothing to buy. All you need is a pen or pencil and a Bible. You can work in the privacy of your own home at your own pace. Each lesson folds into and becomes an envelope with our address on the back, so you don't even have to buy an envelope. A man who finished the course writes, "Thank you for your Gospel of John Bible study course. I like the interactiveness of this course." For your free Gospel of John Bible study, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org.
In the midst of this turmoil, we married in her hometown, at least giving me fair warning about being faithful to her. Our fighting escalated, and once I ended up at the eye doctor with a scratched cornea, so I learned to hide problems from her to avoid conflict. I also hid my anger at her lethal tantrums. I graduated from college, we both worked, and the next 2 years were blissful, as long as I didn't talk about issues. Then we moved to her country, where we both found jobs.
We're going to Mother's this evening.
Fine. She doesn't seem very happy, Elise.
She's had a difficult life. Her father lived in the same house with his lover and my grandmother. Then Mother was abandoned by my father for another woman. Would you be happy if you'd experienced betrayal?
No, I guess not. She worked hard to raise you and your brother.
Do you want children, Levi?
Of course.
Well, I hope you do better than my father did.
I will.
You should go to language school and really learn to speak like a native.
Yeah, sometimes I do feel isolated when we're in a social group.
Well, now you know how I felt living in your country.
Elise was not a happy person either. Life with her was a roller coaster of emotions, breaking up and making up. She had a miscarriage which contributed to her emotional trauma. When I was alone, I turned to pornography. Then during a 2-week trip to Thailand on business, I committed adultery. Afterward, I felt sick. Guilt began choking my soul.
Levi, good news.
What, my love?
We're expecting again.
Oh, and this time there won't be a miscarriage?
No, the doctor says I'm fine now.
Oh, I have good news, too. There's a job opening in Manhattan at the Consulate Trade Office.
And you applied?
Yes, I'm ready to live in the U.S. again. Are you?
I suppose. I'll have to give up my job.
Well, you'd have to give it up anyway to have the baby.
True. Our very own baby, Levi. I can't wait.
So there we were, in the autumn of 1990, facing a new job, a new baby, and a transatlantic move to a new home. In the midst of this change, I committed adultery again. But I felt entitled to revenge for the abuse I'd endured. We moved to Manhattan, but Elise flew back home for the birth of our son in the spring. Then she returned to New York. What a great location, right on Park Avenue, 2 blocks from Central Park.
The park is nice, but I'd like to get out of the city.
Why?
Well, the baby's 6 months old now, and the apartment is small.
Oh, we'll miss out on the nightlife the counselor office has. The parties with the visiting dignitaries.
I don't care about that.
We moved to Westchester County. More affordable, but an hour commute for me each way. A year later, Elise became pregnant with our second child, so we bought a home near Connecticut. Our daughter was born in the summer of 93, but something was still missing in my life, and I secretly escaped to porn. January 1996 arrived. Hello?
Levi.
Uh-huh?
I called to tell you your father died.
Oh, Mom, I thought he'd get better. Are you okay?
Yes, yes. He was 83. That's a long life. but life is shorter than you realize. I hope you and Elise are going to church. You need to build your lives on biblical truths, Levi.
I know, Mom, but we rarely have time for church.
Oh, you should be taking your children to church. They need the Lord, and so do you, son.
Death had entered my world again, but I focused on life and tried to ignore the perils of death. At work, a new manager set a pace that outmatched me, threatening my position. As my hours lengthened and my self-esteem vanished, I committed adultery again. Around that time, a special man appeared in my office.
I have a ministry to people serving with the United Nations.
Oh, you're an ambassador for Christ?
Exactly. Oh. Every believer is, or should be. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God."
Oh, then you're a pastor.
An evangelist. I'm here to share the good news of Jesus Christ.
I grew up in a Christian home.
Then you know that Jesus died for our sins.
Yeah, my wife is Scandinavian and her family rarely attends church, so we don't either. Life is so busy, it's hard to find the time.
Time is our most precious asset, and the one that slips away the fastest.
I know. Death of friends and family members has made me see that.
You need to follow Jesus. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me."
Well, how do you follow Jesus in this day and age?
The age has nothing to do with it. It's our personal commitment to obey God. He gives the Christian the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to obey God's word. In fact, the Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him."
We met again a few times, and then he asked if Elise and I would visit his office near the United Nations. We did, and he shared the gospel with her.
You see, Elise, we are all born separated from God, spiritually dead, until we are born again of God's Holy Spirit.
Born again?
Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The new birth is spiritual. As we repent of our sins to a holy God and ask his forgiveness, we can be born again.
I never heard these things, but I know Jesus died on a cross.
He rose from the dead and lives forevermore. He wants to save you, Elise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
I'll think about these things.
Just remember, the Bible promises, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And again, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved."
He prayed with us, but the bondage of my sin barricaded my heart. In the summer of 1997, we sold our house and moved back to Scandinavia. This time was different. I lay on the floor of our empty apartment and wept.
I don't understand what's wrong, Levi. You were happy to live here before.
Before it was just you and me. This time we have children and the responsibility scares me.
That's not like you.
This new job, it's a field I know so little about. It's scary.
You'll learn. Besides, I can get a job too.
Elise got a job with a major European airline. Her work shifts were very irregular, often at night or on weekends. As our family life suffered, my addiction grew. And each year while on a business trip, I committed adultery in spite of the shame and regret. Finally, the adulterous flings left me suicidal. I felt trapped forever and death seemed like the only way out. In 2002, Elise and I celebrated our 17th anniversary by going to a resort.
Levi, I have a proposition to make, but I don't want to jeopardize our marriage.
Oh, nothing can break the special bond between us.
Very well, then. You know that I've been translating articles for a sports writer.
Yes.
I've developed a strong attraction to him, and I'd like to spend a night with him.
I marvel at your honesty. I'm not opposed to it.
Then let's talk about the arrangements.
As I pondered her honesty compared with my betrayal, I didn't sleep that night. The next day, we decided to play golf. I told her about my affairs because I had to clear my conscience. I wasn't prepared for her response.
Who were they?
Never anyone you knew, never anything serious, just physical encounters.
How many times?
5 or 6 over the years.
You lied to me all this time.
I'm sorry, Elise. Please forgive me.
Well then, I'm going to pursue my relationship with this man.
A week later, Elise ordered divorce papers. Refusing to talk to me, she spent her time with her male friend. I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, I couldn't focus. I lost 50 pounds. The next 6 months were agony. The divorce papers came in January 2003. Don't sign them, Elise, please.
I told you long ago that I would leave if you were unfaithful.
Think of the children. You know how hard divorce is on children.
I survived. And they will too.
Elise, I love you. Please, give me another chance.
I'm sorry, Levi. It's over.
No amount of pleading would change her mind. Right after that, I had to go on a business trip to Shanghai, where the Chinese New Year lit the night sky with fireworks and celebrations. I knew my wife was preparing to move into her own apartment, and my heart broke as I watched the festivities from my hotel room. God, please bring my wife back to me. I'll be a better husband. Give me another chance. God, please.
Next week, we'll hear how Levi lived up to that prayer. We hope this true story has helped you see that only Christ Jesus can transform a life, any life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Don't let sin destroy your life, listening friend. You can have God's transforming power at work in your heart when you turn to the Lord. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3135. Heard in part one of the true story of a man called Levi were Steve Bayorgin, Tricia Grennan, Mercita DeMunk, Lanny Lutz, and Martin Hallisey. I'm Don Stroop. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Your letters and emails brighten our day, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Need encouragement? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.